Welcome to Cloud Cover. Today we've got two special guests from the VS Tools team. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, we've got.
It's actually called Cloud Platform Tools team.
Oh, rename recently, or it's
yeah.
Okay, Cloud Platform Tools team. Yeah. Okay, so these guys are actually working on all the cool tooling you see in VS, and sometimes outside of it. So we've got Boris Scholl and Bin Du. So you're a senior program manager, right, Boris?
Yes.
And Bin is a software development engineer in test. A very long title. Yeah. All right, so what are you guys going to show us today?
Today we're going to talk about the Windows Azure Visual Studio Gallery image that we've created.
Right, so in the Windows Azure Management portal now, you can say create a new VM from Gallery and select Visual Studio.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And just to set expectations, the title is a little bit misleading because if you go to the portal, it says Visual Studio 2013 Preview Gallery Image, I think. But it's way more because what we really created is some sort of developer desktop.
Right.
Because we also put a lot of components on the VM or on the image that might be useful for development.
Right. So it's not just a stock standard, I've installed Visual Studio and that's it.
It's not just like, so for example, what we have on there is SharePoint, right? SharePoint is installed. It's not configured, obviously, because it's sysprepped. We also have SQL Express on the machine.
Okay.
We also have the Azure SDK 2.1 on the machine. Yay.
Yep.
So
nice.
It's actually ready to go. And for those of you who want to get started with SharePoint development or you want to configure SQL Express, we also put a bunch of PowerShell scripts on the VM that you just need to fire off. And then we basically configure SharePoint, put it in a very basic configuration for you, but it should be a good starting point and it should get you to an F5 experience right away.
Yep.
Same goes for obviously SQL Express.
So it's obviously, so at the moment it's VS 2013 preview with along with the other bits that you talked about on there. So how do you see this being used? I can certainly see it being used in the sense that, hey, I'm devving at whatever corporation, I may only be using 2010 or 2012 and I want to see the 2013 preview features. But I don't necessarily want to install them onto my dev machine at work. So I see people being able to just like spin this up, takes like 8 minutes or something like that, and you can jump in and start playing around. But it's more than that, right, as well? You could use it just for official production dev every day if you wanted to.
So this whole VM is actually part of the MSDN offering, so you should have a proper MSDN license to use it. But the way we envision that is it's really part of dev test, right?
Right.
Think about, as you said, you work for a large corporation, and then now all of a sudden you need to spin off an environment. You don't want to do it on your laptop because you have your client OS on the laptop, but you want to have a server system or you want to have Visual Studio. You don't want to install it, that's actually the way to go, right?
Yep.
Because you can spin it off, as you said, it takes like, depending on the VM size you choose, takes about between 8 to 12 minutes, and then you're actually good to go, right? And so it saves a lot of time, it gives you a lot of productivity for developers or for developers. I think that's the target scenario.
And I guess that combined with the new, you know, no compute bill for stopped VMs, that makes it a very powerful tool because you can essentially turn it off when you're not using it.
Yep.
And then you're only paying really for the storage of the VM and spin it back up when you need it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really a great feature. And stopping the VM, right, I just need to do some advertising. It's a great feature in the Server Explorer of the SDK.
We actually demoed that in the last episode. Okay, so let's jump in.
All right, let's get started. Let's go switch over to the Azure portal. And I mean, most of you are familiar with the Azure portal, I assume. Click New and then go to Compute Virtual Machine from Gallery. So the image is really a little bit hidden down here. If you scroll down, you see Visual Studio Ultimate 2013 preview. We're planning to update the image, by the way, for RC as well. But again, it's all like enforced by MSDN licenses, right? So we have a short description, nothing really particular here, right? And you can go to next, and then you can enter virtual machine name. Cover demo 2 because I already created one.
Okay.
And create a username. So if you want to use it for SharePoint development, right, you would probably go with an extra large VM size because that's also recommended by the SharePoint base image. Right?
Can we show people what other sizes are available there at the moment?
So it's extra small, small, medium, large, and those are the high memory.
Yep.
Again, for just regular development, based on what we've seen and the way the image is optimized, large is really good enough.
Yep.
If you just want to do web development or SQL development.
Okay.
But SharePoint, you really want to do like an extra large instance.
Okay.
So then you enter your username. That's pretty much straightforward, right?
Right.
And then you get to the next section. So as you probably know, when you create a VM, we also create a cloud service for it. So you can choose whether it should create a new one or if you want to use an existing one. What I really want to point out in a developer scenario is, and that's what we're going to show later, actually Bin is showing that, that you probably want to have access to some source code control, right?
Yep.
Source code control in a lot of companies is not necessarily in the cloud. They also have portions on-prem, right? So what you can do with a new point-to-site networking, right, you can actually bridge or basically build a tunnel, provision that virtual machine into a virtual network, and then build a tunnel into your corporate network.
Ah,
and
excellent.
That's what I'm going to show, and then you can connect it.
So if you had TFS on-prem, you know, running on your own data center, basically your cloud VM can then connect to that.
Absolutely.
And utilize
that's what
it. Awesome.
We do here, right? We basically, we're ready because we have a virtual network, we call the developer VNet, we provision the VM into that network.
Okay.
Right, and then the other stuff is just pretty much straightforward. You can actually use your subnets, you can add a storage account, or it's been created, or you can just choose one, right, and then click next. So the other option, that's basically the last step, remote PowerShell and remote desktop is enabled. One word for remote PowerShell, along with that image on the download center, on a MSDN download center, we also give you a bunch of scripts that allow you to configure the image entirely remotely. So you don't even have to go through the portal.
Wow.
And our scripts even create a virtual network for you if you want one. If you are a SharePoint developer and you want to do proper development with an Active Directory, we create another VM, spin off an Active Directory on it, create that developer desktop, and then connect that developer desktop to the Active Directory.
Okay.
And so it's everything's been automated as well.
That's really cool. So does those scripts that are running against Remote PowerShell, so I could spin up like a clean slate, just basic Windows install, run those scripts, and it would basically bring it up to speed with what you've got here? Or
so
is it just
you wouldn't even need to spin up a VM. So you just need to execute a PowerShell script that we have.
And that will create it and then deploy and install all of this stuff.
It's actually, while we're on that, right, we also have an a company web page with it that says how to configure the preview gallery image. Right, and then if we scroll down, we have a section called provisioning a Visual Studio preview image from PowerShell. And that's where we documented all of our scripts and what you need to do. So basically, you get the scripts from here. And then you have, if you just want to do web and SQL, you execute the scripts. Those are the parameters. Right? We have a sample here. If you just want to do one VM with SharePoint on it, that's the same. And this is the fancy one, right? And I think a lot of SharePoint developers who are still doing SharePoint solutions and want to build some, let's say, social features based on user profile service and stuff like that, they need an Active Directory. And we even have that part here, which basically says, okay, configure SharePoint with an Active Directory.
So that will save them quite a lot of time in terms of like
trying
to install that themselves and configure it. Awesome.
And it's fully automated. And I read a blog post from a SharePoint guy. He said, and it's also good for learning PowerShell because it has like some really basic samples in there.
All right.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. So going back here, if I hit the nice icon here, right, I'm going to start a provisioning.
Okay.
But in the sake of time, we already provisioned one. Hope that's okay. And you trust me that
it's going to
provision successfully. So here is this cloud cover demo, and I can actually connect to it.
Okay.
Through remote desktop. Now I need to know, what did I use? Let's see, it's not Redmond, it's cloud cover demo, okay. I hope I have the right username and password because I just created it. Cool, now it comes up and so if we look at the desktop here, we, as I mentioned, we put a bunch of stuff on that.
Right?
Let's close the server manager for a minute. So first of all, or the most important part of that VM is really the scripts here, right? If you click on Configure Developer Desktop, we have a scripts folder, software folder, and the tools folder.
Okay.
So the software folder also has like the workflow manager in it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do some SharePoint workflow management or development, and also the SQL Express. If you go to the scripts folder, we have three scripts, right? Configure SharePoint Farm, which means we just configure a standalone SharePoint.
Right.
And that's also the reason why we put SQL Express on that machine as well, because we really have it in a standalone mode.
Right.
That script really just creates a SharePoint farm for you on one machine, right? We create a website for you and a site collection, so you're basically just good to go.
Okay.
We also have a script which is configure SharePoint farm in a domain. So if you already have a domain controller somewhere and you want to provision that SharePoint into that domain or use it in Active Directory, you can execute that. And that, of course, enables like richer SharePoint development scenarios.
Yep.
If you just want to do like SQL development and you feel you need SQL Express rather than LocalDB, which comes with Visual Studio, you can just execute that script here and it will actually configure SQL Express for you, and then you can use it in your development environment.
Okay.
If you get stuck, we also put a bunch of helper links on the VM. So on those helper links, they actually take you to the website that I've just shown you a while ago. It's like the configuration website.
But if I didn't need SharePoint or anything like that, you can just double click on VS there and start.
If you don't need, you just want to start, let's say you want to do Azure development on an Azure VM.
Yep.
That's cool, huh?
Okay.
Because I mentioned we have the SDK 2.1 on there, you can just start Visual Studio, fire it off.
It's almost like Inception. Mm-hmm. Especially if you spin up another VM on this VM, is that even possible?
No, not in the tools right now. No. But what you could actually do is you could actually stop your VM from Visual Studio.
Right. That's cool.
I'm not sure if that's cool. Yeah, but it's actually, I like this scenario. You do Azure development on an Azure VM.
Yeah.
So you're really all in.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think it's convenient as well.
Yeah.
Particularly for, you know, those companies that may not have the infrastructure to be hosting all this sort of stuff on-prem.
Yeah. So for the sign-in, I'm going to hand it over to Ben now. He's going to sign in, he's going to create a hello world, and then he's going to connect to a Teams Foundation server.
Cool.
Right.
So what is this profile it's creating? Is this new in VS 2013 here? The Visual Studio profile and settings?
Yeah.
Okay.
The profile basically just to do some environment setup. It's not new. But actually, you can use some synchronization features that sync your settings. For example, font, color, something settings.
What about the layout? Like if I put Server Explorer on the right-hand side and Solution Explorer on the left?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
But for font, some settings, basic environment settings, actually can sync across different Visual Studio instances.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. If I had one of these here, and I also had, say, VS on my local machine, and I signed in the same account, it's going to sync those settings, font size, etc.
Yes.
Back and forth.
Yes. That's very convenient, actually. Yeah. When I do demo, I remember that I set a font to a big size, and next time I spin off a new VM, and I just assign and use my profile, and automatic sync to the new VMs. It's very, very convenient.
Very, very cool. I think VS Power Tools as well has a really cool feature for presenters you may not have seen. Mm-hmm. Basically, in the quick launch menu, you say present on, and it will actually go and change all your font size for you. And you can turn present off as well, and it'll just go back to your normal dev settings.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool too.
Cool. Yeah. Today, I just show how to use the PowerShell script to provision a standalone SharePoint. So let's edit it. So basically, I open the PowerShell IC and quickly inspect the code.
Okay. So these are some scripts that you wrote as part of this deliverable for everyone.
Yes.
So everyone, if you have questions, you can send them to Bindu.
Yeah.
Or I'd just write them in the comments on the show, and we'll connect you with Ben.
Yeah, so basically, the script requires two parameters. basically the parameters create a SharePoint farm account, which run in a SharePoint service.
Yep.
So it's easy. We try to make it easy.
So. Okay. And what was the second parameter?
The password.
Password.
Okay. Handy.
You need you need a username and a password.
Right.
And the script first set up the SQL Server Express.
Yep.
And then they try to create a SharePoint database.
Okay.
And the second part is to configure different SharePoint features.
Okay. So what features do you configure by default there with this script?
Yes, it includes
it's just the basic features.
Yeah, just the basic
stock standard default install.
What you usually want to do if you do full-blown SharePoint development is like user profile service and those type of services.
Okay. But
because that's standalone, we didn't put that in there. So it's up to you to configure those services.
Okay. Still great time saving, basically.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we actually create like the configuration database, and as I mentioned, we have a web application and two site collections in it, and you can basically start. If you just want to develop a web part or something like that, right, you just execute that script, and then you're good to go.
Okay. Ben, you do realize you're responsible for one of two things now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of SharePoint developers out there that will either be a whole lot more productive because they'll use your scripts to get stuff done faster, or they'll still use your scripts, and then they'll use the time that it used to take them to do this to read the news.
Yeah. So hope it helped. So the last step is to
last one.
Yeah. The last step is create default web application.
Right.
So after you create SharePoint solutions,
right,
you can just deploy to the default web applications.
The cool thing is, right, as I mentioned before, you can do that whole stuff remotely.
Yeah.
You don't need to be on the VM. With the scripts we provide, you can completely configure everything he just mentioned from your client machine.
Yeah.
And then come back and remote desktop in and everything's working already.
And that's what the remote PowerShell port mapping is for, basically, when you spin up that VM we saw in the wizard. And that was a new feature which they added in like 2-3 months ago or something, like to have that?
For VMs, it's always been turned on, I think, for a while.
Okay.
But it's probably like 3 months here, right?
Okay.
They just changed the UI there, right, to show the endpoints where it listens on.
Okay.
Where it listens on,
So let's run your script and show people that it works while we check out the rest.
Yeah, let's type the first parameter, user count. Let's call it SP farm. Password, let's just call it the password. I know it's probably not good.
It's secure.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Here we go.
Okay. So this will go off and provision that in, you know, is this like a 15 minute, 20 minute, half an hour sort of thing? Yeah. It's doing a lot of stuff.
Yes, that's true. So after probably 30 minutes, we will launch the SharePoint, and you can actually start the developer SharePoint application.
So that's still significantly faster than it would be to do it all step by step. Cool.
Let's switch back to Virtual Studio. Okay. So I think the setup has finished.
All right. So you've signed in.
Yeah, I have signed. Let's create a simple project. Say hello world. Word channel 9.
Cool.
And let's add, Boris mentioned that we can add a connect to the on-prem GFS server and add source code to it.
Right.
So let's do it.
So this was in the wizard for provisioning this VM. This was the step where you basically showed that you were using a pre-configured VM.
Yeah, actually, there's a little bit more to it, right? Because you need to configure a virtual network and a point-to-site connection. So it's not just the virtual network that does the
trick. Virtual network, the point-to-site, okay.
And then you basically, once you have configured a point-to-site, you can download a VPN package and you can install it. And what we've done is we installed a VPN package on the TFS server, and then it allows us to connect the TFS server to that instance.
Okay.
Yeah, let's connect to TFS server. Actually, you can also use Git.
Okay. So TFS and Git supported?
Yep. Let's choose a server. Let's test my memory. I remember the address is... Here we go.
Okay.
We didn't set up DNS.
That's all right. still a very valid scenario, I think, for many developers.
I mean, actually, the reason why we didn't set up DNS is we had tremendous problems getting that to work with the Microsoft corporate network.
Right.
Because
here we go.
The TFS server is actually part of the network, but it's not joined to the domain.
Right.
But I think a lot of enterprises will have same restrictions.
Okay.
Yeah, I already have our project. Just use this default project.
Okay.
Connect it. Just put under the root folder.
All right. Mm-hmm. You could basically use
definitely.
TFS online.
TFS online, yeah. It's very cool, actually.
Nice.
So let's see the pending change. Here we go.
There you go.
Yeah, we can just checking. First, checking.
Good to see you had comments. I bet Boris doesn't come in as check-ins.
Rarely do. Although the first check-in, I always comment as first check-in.
Okay.
All right. Let's check it in.
All right.
There we go. Yeah.
Very, very powerful demonstration.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Could you, if we do have the portal open, could we just show the entry point to the where people could configure their virtual network? And point to point.
Yes.
Just
so burst.
Okay. So let's go to a portal. Okay. Go to
scroll. Yeah.
Yes. Networks.
Yep.
From here. Okay. Yep. So this is the developer VNet that we used, and we provisioned the VM into it, right? And then if I click on it, developer VNet, and I go to the dashboard. This is a virtual network, and as I mentioned, I configured a point-to-site connection to it. What you need to do is, I mean, there are a bunch of steps you need to do. You need to, in my case, I created a self-signed cert. I need to upload the cert, right? I also need to upload, I think it was a machine cert.
Right.
There are steps on WindowsAzure.com that describe pretty well how to do that.
Right.
But then once you've set it up, the point-to-site connection and your gateway, that's basically what you see here, right? Developer VNet, I have one client connected. And that's actually the VPN package I mentioned.
Right.
You can basically download it and put it on any client that should connect to that virtual network.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all we've done here.
Nice.
It's fairly straightforward.
Yeah, pretty cool. So if people want to learn how they can actually configure this component of things, they can go to WindowsAzure.com, right?
Yeah.
And within the documentation
actually,
tab.
If you look at, so if you go to that website that I mentioned before, right?
Yeah, we'll put a link at the bottom of the show.
Yep, so if you go, sometimes it's hard to find, right?
Yeah.
So this is basically the link, and there is the small, tiny little section where I describe how you can do that.
Okay.
And this link actually here describes you very well how to configure point-to-site VPN.
Right.
And just follow the steps there. And again, I didn't use a DNS server.
Yep.
And that worked.
Okay. So all in all, you know, a really powerful image there that you've created for us. It's not just a VM with VS 2013 on there. There's a whole bunch more within there.
So if you have, I think if people comment on it and they have some feedback, what they wanted to see on that VM, it'd be great to get that feedback as well.
Yeah.
But we definitely continue walking down that path, and we will update it for RC.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's really a benefit to our MSDN subscribers, and I think overall it's a very powerful tool. Having been in consulting myself, I would have loved to have something like that.
Yeah, most definitely.
Right. All right.
All right. So, well, any closing thoughts?
No.
No. Just
no from my side. I think.
Just send feedback. Yeah. Any feedback you have on the default image or scripts which are there, if you want more scripts perhaps, for different scenarios, feel free to add those comments and we'll get those through to Boris and Bin, and hopefully they'll turn up there in a subsequent release.
Yeah, we were agile.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool.
All right, well thanks for coming on the show.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime. Actually, you'll you've had two of the past three shows by the time this is published, I think.
Oh yeah.
Because we lost your episode for a while, or we got really busy at Build and Tech
yeah,
Ed and
I remember that,
all
yeah.
of that, but it's up now.
Cool.
So it's online there. And of course, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow @CloudCoverShow. All right, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks.